Continental Tires.
AFL Trade Radio.
AFL Trade Exchange. Fareem. Built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a Rheem. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service you can rely on, book online at repcoservice.com.
Hello and welcome to AFL Trade Exchange. I am Riley Beveridge and we are with you on Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tyres, ask for Continental. Continental-tyres.com.au. I am joined by Mitchell Cleary. Mitchell, how are you going?
Going well, Riles. Day two. I think expecting a few curveballs to pick up as the week unfolds. So a couple of days before free agency on Friday. And then the real stuff starts to happen.
It's going to be a big week, isn't it? Leading into Friday morning, 9 a.m. when the first deals can be lodged. We are here on AFL Trade Exchange. For Rheem, ask for your plumber to install a Rheem steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
A few free agents, which we'll talk about over the course of the week. But I think Jake Kelly from Adelaide to Essendon is probably one of the first to go through. I think Carlton will lodge paperwork for George Shewitt as well. He's restricted. Can't see Sydney, though, matching that offer. I think he walks there. And I actually had a chat with Kane Corns yesterday about why Sydney won't match that bid. Well, Carlton's offered him 4 years, and Kane was sort of questioning, well, why do the Blues give George Shewitt 4 years? I think as much of that is to think he's part of their future, but also to ensure Sydney don't match that deal. If it was a two-year deal, then Sydney might be more inclined to match it and force a trade. Carlton want to get that one through as smooth as possible.
Talk us through, just for those there who are listening that don't understand the difference between restricted free agents and unrestricted, and also what that means, because someone like a Jake Kelly will probably be an Essendon player by Friday afternoon, won't he? But whereas George Hewitt, because he is a restricted free agent, won't be a Carlton player regardless of whether or not Sydney won't match it, but regardless of that fact, won't be a Carlton player until Monday?
Yeah, so free agency runs for a week starting this Friday. There's two different types of free agents. Unrestricted, it means you've been minimum 10 years at your footy club, you are unrestricted, full stop.
Yep.
If you've previously moved as a free agent, for example, a Stephen Motlop, even though he hasn't been at Port Adelaide for 10 years, he's unrestricted because he previously moved as a free agent. The other one example is if you've been delisted previously and been picked up again, you're a free agent for life, like a Marby or Chole. He hasn't been in the system for 8 years at all.
Mm. He has been delisted.
He has been delisted, though. Mm. The other part of unrestricted free agency is if you are in the bottom 75% paid at your footy club and you've been there 8 or 9 years, you're also unrestricted. The only part being restricted is if you're in the top 25% paid at your club in that year of out of contract. So George Shewitt is on a heavily back-ended contract at Sydney. He finds himself in the top 25% paid at Sydney this year. He's also been at the club for 8 years. He's restricted. It means the Swans have the right to match him. Like the Jeremy Cameron example last year, he was restricted at the Giants, but I can't see the Swans matching any bid this year.
Keen to take as many questions as we can on the Kogan Mobile open line, 1300 23 55 48 as well. But Mitch, I want to start by asking you, which club will be the most active during this year's trade period?
Well, Carlton jumps us straight at the front of that queue, given they've got Chera, Hewitt, Petrovsky, Seaton to work through. Fremantle is an interesting one as well. So Adam Chera, obviously a lot to work through on that one when the trade period opens as of next Monday. But just that look for a key forward. What do they do in that space? What do they do with their picks? Do they try and move up the draft order to really attack the WA kids in the draft? And also, what do they do with the money that Chera left behind? We spoke about it yesterday briefly, but $750, around about $1,000 a season. They offered Chera to stay at the footy club. It was a two-year deal if he wanted it. It was a four-year deal if he wanted it. Freo were desperate for him to stay. What do they do with that money now? Do they spread it on a few others? Do they front-end a few other contracts? Do they go to Caleb Sarong or these sorts of guys and say, all right, here's a longer-term contract with that money left over? I'm really keen to see what Freo do. The other one is Sydney as well, with George Shewitt, as we mentioned. They won't have to do much there. I think they'll get probably an end of second or third-round pick for George Shewitt and Jordan Dawson as well in that deal with the Crows.
Sarong currently contracted till 2023.
Yep.
So they've got no immediate concerns over him. He's got two years left in his contract. But
yeah, not saying he's leaving.
It would be the perfect opportunity for them to extend him for another two, potentially, if they have got money in the cap and go from there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I see the same with North Melbourne. You know, Taran Thomas, Cam Zerha, Jai Simpkin, go to these guys and offer them 4 or 5 year deals because you've got the money now to spend. You may as well lock these guys away for the future. That's more what I mean for Freo. I've got no indication that Caleb Sarong is looking elsewhere. I think he's well and truly embedded at the Dockers, but these are some of the things that clubs can do when they've got money to spend.
North Melbourne is an interesting one in that sense because we almost speak every year about how they've got money in the cap and whether or not they'll go after big-name players, and they've certainly done that over the last few years. You look at Josh Kelly this year and in 2019. You look at the chase for Andrew Gaff in 2018 as well. Some unsuccessful pursuits there, but I think through the draft, that's meant they've ended up keeping their draft picks, and through the draft, they've actually built a really strong core of talent. You look at their midfield, which has players like Taran Thomas that you mentioned, who could be an A-grader one day. Jai Simkin, who's probably already an A-grader now. Perfect opportunity to get these guys on long-term deals rather than spend that money on a player from elsewhere.
Yep. I wholeheartedly agree and really keen to see what the Roos do in that space. Geelong is another one to watch as well. Do they need another midfielder? We saw what happened with Melbourne winning that winning the premiership, build off that explosive midfield. Where are the Cats in that whole scenario? You know, Dangerfield is their guy, but with Selwood and these guys around them, do they have to bolster that area? Defence as well. Lockie Henderson is still in limbo and got no real certainty for next year at the Cats. Do they go younger in defence? Nathan Kruger goes out as well. So the Cats are going to be ones to watch as well. We wrote this morning for AFL.com.au about St Kilda's plan at the draft. What does that look like in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty active in trying to get another pick in at the draft. And what do they have at the moment? I think they start at pick 9.
Yep.
As things currently stand, just looking at the draft board there, so pick 9. So I think they're, after 2 years without a top 25 selection, I think they'll try and get a couple in before bids come on their next generation academy players. They've got two of them that are pretty highly rated this year in Marcus Windhager and Machito Owens.
Good name, Machito.
It is.
Wish my parents had added the extra ITO on the end.
Machito Cleary. See, I think they'll try and invest in young talent. I don't think it'll be as busy for the Saints in terms of bringing players in from elsewhere this summer or this off-season. I think they've done that in the past 2 years. I think this year they'll take a more conservative approach at the trade period and commit to the draft. So I think the question, speaking to rival clubs, is whether or not they will actually be able to match a bit on Owens. I've heard the last couple of days that he's started to attract interest sort of around the 15 to 20 range in the draft, and these new bidding rules.
Explain what that means. So, and the comparison for last year and what it means for the Saints.
So as of last year, and I think the reason for this is probably Jamara Ugle-Hagan, who was tied to the Western Bulldogs' Next Generation Academy, and they got the opportunity to match a bid on him at pick 1. I think in response to that, the AFL then said, right, for Academy members coming through, and NGA Academy members coming through, there can't be any bids matched in the top 20 picks. So only 20 beyond, you can match bids for them. So Machito Owens, who's a St Kilda Academy member, if he attracts a bid inside the top 20 at the draft, he'll go to the club that bids on him. If he gets a bid at pick 21, St Kilda will have the option of matching that bid. There's a bit of doubt now as to whether or not St Kilda will be able to match a bid on him because he is coming with a bit of a rush in terms of the draft. A lot of clubs I've spoken to really like him in that 15 to 20 range.
Okay. And Mac Andrew, the other one at Melbourne, is the obvious.
Yes, he's the obvious one this year because he could be a top 5 pick by draft time. But the problem is Melbourne, who he's come through Melbourne's NGA program, won't have the option to match a bid on him. So whether or not St Kilda even gets the opportunity to bring in two players, that's what they're after before a bid comes on those guys. Not sure if they will, whether or not if they get another top 20 pick, whether or not they'll even be able to look at Owens with one of those top 20 picks, knowing that a bid might come for him afterwards. So I look at a club like Gold Coast now. We're going to get to this a bit later, but as Cal Toomey reported on afl.com.au last night, Gold Coast has been granted approval for that AFL concessions package. They'll keep pick 19 now. Whether or not St Kilda looks at that, do Gold Coast really need pick 19? Whether or not they say, look, we can get creative here and find a way to get pick 19, that's something I'm going to be watching for during this trade period.
The other part of the draft this year is different to last year is clubs must take a minimum of three picks in this year's draft. Last year, it was a minimum of one. So last year, you saw a lot of clubs, I think Gold Coast really only took Elijah Hollins in the actual draft.
Yes.
So they were happy to put all of their eggs into that top 10 pick. This year, you know, I would see a Gold Coast, if they had 19, less open to trading it, given they're going to have to take three picks regardless of what happens. So you're going to see a bit of moving. Just on the Saints, before we move off them, I'm really keen on it to look at a few of their contracted guys. So we wrote yesterday about Ben Long. Now, he's contracted for 2022. Getting a bit of interest from elsewhere, I don't think anyone's coming in a significant way for him. But if it was to be Ben Long and someone was to come and put a deal in front of him, I don't think St Kilda's going to stand in his way to leave, given he's on the fringe. Now, he's probably a pick in the 40s, 50s, I think. I don't think he's going to cost you too much. But that's where a club like St Kilda could, as you say, get creative. And if it was to be a pick in the 40s, with their other pick in the 40s right now, bundle those up to a Western Bulldogs or a club that needs picks like the Pies or something like that and move up the order to get into that. The other one is Josh Battle. Now, I think he stays. He's contracted for 2022. Clubs start to look at these sort of guys when they get on the fringe of selection because he hasn't been able to bed down a spot in defence with Tom Highmore coming through. Attack looking less likely now with King, Membry and Cooper Sharman. So exactly where he fits, I think a few clubs are starting to ask the question on Josh Battle.
It's interesting with someone like a Josh Battle because where does he play his best footy?
Yeah.
He's been used in a variety of roles. I've spoken to a couple of clubs that like him as a defender. Might see him as that third tall defender that can go in there and intercept. But, I mean, St Kilda trialled him for a little bit as a tagger this season. I found that interesting, whether or not he's got the tank to go in through the midfield and play.
Yeah. I like him as a wingman as well.
Yeah.
But, and again, what do the Saints do in that space? Do they commit to some of the guys on the wing? They've got like Leo Connolly, is Bradley Hill moved back onto the wing? What do they do? Jack Billings has re-signed for 4 years. What do they do? So there's decisions that, and speaking of Brett Ratten, even 2 weeks ago, he admitted they're going to have to make a call over summer on Josh Battle. His flexibility has been a strength at times, but it's also been a weakness given it hasn't allowed him to play his best footy. He's been thrown all over the place.
There's a couple of players like historically where just because they are so versatile, it's almost hurt them. I always thought Lockie Henderson, for example, I know he's found a position down back at the Cats, but when he was at Brisbane and Carlton, he almost didn't get rated as highly as he should have because he was switching roles so often. Yep. I think, I don't know whether or not that affects their value internally, but I think externally it does hamper them a little bit. Maybe Josh Battle's suffering a little bit from that. Got a couple of texts coming through now. You can get involved on the text line 0419 187 323. Hey guys, do the Cats go after Laddams to add some ruck stock, Mitcho, allowing Radigalea to spend a bit more time forward?
I like it. They've committed to Reece Stanley for another contract for next year. So exactly what they do with their ruck stocks, who knows? It's always, we speak about it on AFL Exchange a lot, exactly where the Cats' rucks sit. Is Peter Laddams a number one ruckman? I think that's what clubs are just trying to work out now. If he is, I think he'd be the perfect fit for Geelong to go with that and Radigalea. Look at what Luke Jackson did as the backup ruck / forward on Saturday night. These are the things that the Cats should be looking at. And what is Peter Laddams, 23, 24? I think he's got a lot of upside.
And Frank from Laylor texts in saying, what's happening at Richmond, considering they have 4 picks in the top 30?
Yeah, do they try and move up? I know Cal's been sort of looking at that, Cal Toomey, as to what the Tigers do. We had another message come through. Are they into the Chera situation? I thought that would have been a good fit. He was a Richmond fan as a kid. There's that photo of Trent Cotchin that always does the rounds. But it seems like they're more likely to go to the draft. And with 4 picks inside 30, probably, and we'll get to that in a moment, maybe another with Callum Coleman-Jones potentially. They should get a compo pick for Marby or Chol. They might have a few options to play with at the draft.
So they've got 15, 26 and 28 and pick 7 as well, obviously. I think they're going to retain pick 7, but whether or not they try and bundle up a couple of the later ones to move forward in the order, get a couple of really prime top 15 picks.
Yeah.
It's an option for them. It's just whether or not, as we found in the past, it's easier said than done. I mean, finding someone to actually go to in the draft and say, look, would you consider taking X, Y, and Z for a top 15 pick? A lot of clubs don't necessarily like doing that. I think it's easier said than done.
Yeah, I think, what do you think Richmond's need is? I think they need another midfielder at that 7, also intercepting defender. I think there's a few needs for Richmond now, and you could also look maybe for some key forward depth. I think they're still going to contend next year, but all of a sudden there's a few needs now for Richmond to go to the draft with.
Yeah, I think midfield for them, and that's why I thought, like what you said before, that's why I thought initially they would be in that Adam Chera race, and I thought that interest might be more substantial going forward. It's an interesting one because they've got all the pieces, and you can almost see, you mentioned intercept defender, they're going to bring in Robbie Tarrant on a 2-year deal. It's almost a stopgap in a little bit. Tarrant's footy probably hasn't been as strong as what it had been throughout the entirety of his career, and I dealt with some health issues this year, but whether or not they can get him back to his best, I still think there's a great footballer in there, obviously, that he's shown for the past decade. And if they can bring that footballer out, that's going to be massive in their hopes of being able to contend long-term, isn't it? But do they, with Callum Coleman-Jones leaving, with Mabi or Chol leaving, do they need to find another forward Jack Riewoldt at the end of his career.
Well, they had a look at Jesse Hogan briefly last year. Yes, I don't think they went too far down the line on that one, but that is obviously a need for them, and they'll be shattered. And you know, hearing Damien Hardwick speak on Fox Footy a week or so back, I think they are shattered that Coleman Jones is leaving, given the development they've put into him, and they've sort of worked through a few off-field things with him. So, yeah, that's definitely a need for that footy club. Maybe it's a stopgap around them, but then how many stopgaps do you want? You've got Robbie Tarrant in defence. You've got to be planning for the future at some point.
All right, plenty more still to come here on AFL Trade Exchange. For Ream, ask your plumber to install a Ream Steady Hot and Strong. And for Repco Authorised Service, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. Trade News, AFL Exchange, for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream, steady, hot and strong. And for Repco Authorised Service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. A Trade News Update for Beaumont Tiles.
It's a Trade News Update for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club. Visit icanwin.com.au. On Monday night, Melbourne announced that veteran Neville Jetta would retire after 13 seasons. He's been an absolute champion for the Demons for a long time. He goes into retirement. The club also announced that Jay Lockhart, Aaron Nitschke and Austin Bradkey would not be offered contracts for the 2022 season. And Mitcho, interestingly, that Aaron Vandenberg, who was out of contract at the Demons, would seek opportunities elsewhere. Where do you see Vandenberg potentially playing his footy next year?
Well, he joins the long line of inside midfielders looking for homes. Mm. Will Brody, Charlie Constable, even Connor Blakely back to last year. I think he'd be still open to a move if possible. As we spoke about on this show yesterday, Rolls, it's just not the market for inside mids. Mm. Is there a club willing to offer Aaron Vandenberg a 1 or 2 year deal as a rookie, as a backup option? I think he's still good enough to play league footy. But clubs are just weighing all these things up right now. I look at Sydney for him. And again, not saying that they're interested this time around, but they did have a look at him a couple of seasons ago and offered him, I think, a longer-term deal, a 3 or 4 year option. He has family in Sydney, or did at that point. I don't know whether they would enter the market again, but there was some interest a few years ago. And obviously, John Longmire, still the coach now. So I think he's one we might be looking at throughout the next few weeks. Aaron Vandenberg, still up to playing league footy. But it's hard to break into that Melbourne midfield when the names are rolling through there like they've got.
So there's a couple of players still uncontracted at Melbourne, a couple of really interesting names who offered rookie lifelines in 2021, most notably Majak Dor and Mitch Brown. Where do you see them?
Majak Dor is a really interesting one. He was brought in on the eve of the season. Cal's made this point a few times. Mm. Who would have thought they'd win the premiership Melbourne when they went and got Majak Dor to play as a backup forward option in the preseason? Ben Brown was injured. Mm.
Sam Wiedemann was injured.
Sam Wiedemann and Tom McDonald was back at the footy club having tail between his legs, really. Tried to look for a new home this time last year with 2 years left on good money and was unable to find a deal. Fast forward to this year, Riles, and Tom McDonald's extended his contract for 2 more years. I think part of that, in all honesty, was to smooth some of his money out that was owing in 2022. But their forward line is looking as sharp as ever right now. So what happens with Majak? I think there's still a chance he stays on the list next year, but it's more as a backup ruckman. He played most of the time in the VFL as a backup ruckman. We know Gorn and Jackson are there. They're not going anywhere. But the Demons had a look last year for a backup ruckman. They met with Andrew Phillips at Essendon. We spoke about it on this show. Could he become a four-club player? Andrew Phillips, that didn't eventuate. He's still at Essendon and has subsequently re-signed. But I think there's an opportunity for Majak to stay now at Melbourne as a backup ruckman. And offer a bit of depth there behind Gorn and Jackson if one of those guys go down. Austin Bradkey, as you said, has been delisted as well. So there's not too much in the ruck department. That's where Majak could fit in. As for Mitch Brown, he's one of those guys that probably has to wait until the end of trade period, like he's probably faced 3 or 4 times in his career, unfortunately. A good sign for him that he wasn't part of the initial delistings, but still no certainty on his future. I've got them with 10 players out of contract right now. So Oscar Baker, I think, will get a one-year deal most likely. Toby Bedford is another out of contract. Cade Chandler, he's a rookie. I think he was emergency for the grand final.
They liked him. It was a sub a couple of times early in the year. They like his run, his energy that he provides. So I wouldn't be surprised if he got another year.
Yep. Majak, as we mentioned, Mitch Brown. Kaida Klaas picked up in the midseason rookie draft on a 1 year deal. Not sure where that one's going to fall. Michael Hibberd, I expect to get a one-year extension. Marty Hoare is a watch, given his ACL this year. They love him, the clubman nature, his side of things. He worked with Casey this year in the VFL. Mm-hmm. He's as good a professional as you'll see, Marty Hoare, but where does he fit in? Maybe the Adam Tomlinson injury might open the door for him to get a one-year deal, given his ACL was in preseason.
Yep.
Tomlinson's not going to be back until the middle parts of next year.
If the season had been 8 weeks longer, Marty Hoare probably would have played footy this year. Like, he was very close towards the end of the season in his recovery.
Yeah.
So he's one that will probably get a full preseason under his belt should he remain at the club.
Yep. Deacon Smith, taken on as an SSP signing at the same time as Magic Door. Not sure where he falls. And then the other one is Daniel Turner, a rookie in the mid-season draft as well. You'd think, given his age as a 19-year-old, a bit more of a speculative pick. He came on a bit out of Albury. I would expect him to probably get a one-year extension as well.
All right, we are here on Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. We will head now to the Kogan Mobile Open line. We'll make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. And we'll get to Prash in Greensboro, a great part of the world, who wants to talk about Jared Brandt. G'day, Prash.
Hey, boys. I just had a question. Do you reckon it's worth for Hawthorn to look at Jared Brandt since they're lacking in outside speed?
Potentially. It just depends where Jared Brander wants to play his footy long term. I think the issue at West Coast was that he didn't actually want to play on a wing. He wants to play as a key position player, either forward or behind the ball. I think that is a notable need for the Hawks. Add a bit of depth there, especially if Tim O'Brien does depart the club at season's end. They've got James Sicily coming off a long-term injury.
I'm keen to see where Sicily plays next year, whether Sam Mitchell rolls the dice and plays him forward. We'll find out.
Well, it's interesting. I remember speaking to Dermy about 3 years ago.
Saw him in the office yesterday.
Yeah, he was buzzing around. I remember speaking to Dermot Burton about 3 years ago, who said he will finish his career as a forward.
Okay.
That was when he was almost all Australian as a defender. So it's interesting to see where that lands. But look, I think clubs would be looking at Jared Brander as key position depth rather than outside run. I think the way that he's going to leave West Coast is that he didn't want to play on a wing. Is that how you say it as well?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why it hasn't worked out at West Coast. I think on the surface, they've been pretty stocked in attack with Oscar Allen alongside Kennedy and Darling, and then in defence with Brass and McGovern. I thought the Eagles might have sort of gone with him a bit more in defence. We saw Harry Edwards come on a bit this year. I like to look at him as a tall defender. Maybe there's a one-year deal for Brander if he doesn't attract any interest elsewhere on the East Coast, but he's going to be one to talk about.
All right, we'll head to Michael and Carolyn Springs now, who wants to talk about Samo Petrevski-Seaton. G'day, Michael.
Yeah, I was just thinking with the Samo Petrevski-Seaton deal, is he a swap for Brander and maybe a late pick for the Blues? Because they're going to need another, if they're going to trade for Chira, if Chira's coming and they're going to trade for him, they'll need another pick. And if that's not the deal, where else does Carlton get? I mean, they'll get a pick for Petrevski-Seaton, I assume, but where else do they get picks that they'll need to do to meet their minimum?
Yeah, look, I think that one makes sense just as a straight swap because they're both obviously on the outer at their current sides. My mail is that the Jared Brander thing isn't as progressed as what it might seem. It's still pretty early stages there as to whether or not the Blues follow through on any preliminary interest in Jared Brander. So it's an interesting one to watch whether or not Carlton can get a 29 or a 36 from the Eagles for Petrevski-Seaton is another question, and whether or not that goes into a deal for Adam Chera.
Yeah.
Obviously, pick six is going to be the starting point in a deal for Chera. I expect Fremantle to ask for something more, though, and potentially for something else in this year's draft, and whether or not they can just package whatever they get back for Petrevski-Seaton in that deal. We spoke yesterday, though, Mitcho. You don't think that West Coast would even be willing to entertain the possibility of offering up pick 35 for Petrevski-Seaton?
Well, if I'm West Coast, I'm not, because it's a player who hardly played in Carlton's team in the back half of the year, was sub on a number of occasions, out of contract as well, we can't forget, at the Blues and has requested a trade. So I don't think there's too much leverage from Carlton's side of things on Petrevski-Seaton, but I think 35 is about right ultimately, but if I'm West Coast, it's not my starting point, no.
Do you think you can work your way up to that? I mean, I know you said he hasn't played back half the year. He's still a player who's played 90-odd games of footy in 5 years.
That's true.
And he's worked his way into a side. He's durable. He's played forward. He's played back. He's played through the midfield.
Yeah, I think it probably ends up being around that point. But if I'm West Coast, I'm not starting there. But I think it gets to there eventually.
All right. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. We'll get to one more really quickly. Eddie in Seaton, who wants to talk about Aaron Francis. G'day, Eddie.
G'day. How you guys going?
Good, thanks, Eddie.
I heard a rumour that Aaron Aaron Francis, my request, a trade back to South Australia. Any truth to that?
It comes up a lot given he is a South Australian, you know, was thrown forward this year at Essendon. I think he's a defender at that footy club. They've gone and got Jake Kelly now, the Bombers. That'll be done as one of the first free agency moves. So I can see the thinking behind it. Haven't heard of any significant interest from either of the South Australian clubs in Aaron Francis, but I think he's talented and should be one of the best intercepting key backs in the competition. Just hasn't worked out all too well for him at the Bombers. Another preseason, though, under Ben Rutten. I think they'll give him every chance at the Bombers.
All right, plenty more still to come on AFL Trade Exchange for Rheem. Ask your plumber to install a Rheem Steady Hot and Strong. And for Repco authorised service, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires. When everything counts, count on Continental. Trade News AFL Exchange for Rheem. Ask your plumber to install a Rheem. Steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
We are back here on AFL Trade Exchange for the Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. Okay, Mitcho, we will get to one of our favourite segments. It is Who Says No, thanks to Sea-Doo, your Sea-Doo, your way. Visit sea-doo.com. Find a Sea-Doo model to suit your needs. This is where we throw up a hypothetical trade situation, Mitcho, and ask which club would say no. Today we're asking Callum Coleman-Jones to North Melbourne for pick 38. Who says no?
I think Richmond says no initially. Then they realise when they wake up to their senses that, well, gee, we haven't got much leg to stand on here given North Melbourne have pick number one in the pre-season draft. And if we don't sort of give up Callum Coleman-Jones for a little bit less this time around, we might lose him for nothing at all. But that's where I would sit, I think. The Tigers are saying no, but it probably works out to be about that.
Yeah, I completely agree. 9 games in 4 years, I think, for the Tigers. They took him at pick 20 in the draft. So, I mean, he's a pretty talented player. You don't take players who aren't talented with pick 20 in the draft. But I think at the end of the day, you probably just have to relent a little bit if you're Richmond. I think initially they'll probably ask for more. But it's going to be hard to get anything out of North Melbourne because they've got that fallback option of walking him through to the preseason draft. I don't think that'd be the Kangaroos' first option. I don't think any club likes walking a player through to the preseason draft, but sometimes it just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's that extra currency you get for finishing on bottom of the table. It gives North Melbourne a bit of extra leverage when it comes to the trade period. We saw the Crows do it last year with Jackson Hatley. It's happened before with Jack Martin at Carlton. Clubs don't like doing it, as you say, because they know that in 12 months, a few years down the track, it might come back to bite them. But it is just that other privilege, or not privilege, but other added little silver lining of finishing on the bottom. We might put it off on our Instagram as well, because our listeners love this on AFL Exchange. You can find us on Instagram at AFL Exchange, Who Says No for the Callum Coleman-Jones.
So North has pick 38. They've also got 1 and 20.
Yeah.
They're not going to give up pick 20 for Cal Coleman-Jones, are they?
I don't think so.
Especially in their position where they are targeting the draft.
Yep.
It's just going to be too difficult, I think. You can get on the Trade Radio Twitter as well. The poll is up now. Go vote. Let us know, Richmond or North Melbourne, who says no, Cal Coleman-Jones for pick 38. We will get to a few more calls on the open line for Kogan Mobile. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. That number is 1-300-2355-48. Alistair in Carnegie wants to talk about contracts. G'day, Alistair.
G'day, boys. Just a question. When it comes to contracts and we're talking a player signs a deal for 2 years at $300,000, that doesn't include things like match payments, does it? And I'll use Coleman Jones as an example. If he's at Richmond, he's on $250 a year, but not playing AFL every week versus moves to North on $300, but he's playing every week. Is that more like he's on $400 after match payments? And that's much more of a deciding factor than if we're just talking $300 versus $250 a year?
It's a good question, Alistair.
A lot of questions.
Yeah, and this might be an easy answer from my perspective, but there's so many different ways that they're built into these contracts. So the best example clubs and the people you speak to suggest is the higher end players are basically just on base deal. So an Adam Chera going to Carlton, he's less likely to be on match payments. It's more your players at the lower end that are likely to get match payments. Now, a player like Callum Coleman-Jones could well have match payments built into his contract. But the best part of Callum Coleman-Jones going to North Melbourne is the opportunity, but also the other incentives. You know, best and fairest finishes. These players might have $20,000, $50,000 incentives built around that. Also, game triggers, you know, 6, 12, 18 games or whatever it might be, the more they build up. So in terms of the actual match payments, it's more for original draftees, and players might be on a base of $150,000 to $250,000, $100,000 a season. The guys that start to get, you know, the above the average wage of $400,000 or more are sort of more likely to be on just your base and flat rates of money.
It's a good question from Alistair there. Thanks for your question.
When we speak to a club or a player agent, we might ask for a bit more detail on that. That's a pretty surface level answer.
It's interesting when you talk about triggers, and you hear often like a player sign for 2 years with a trigger for a third. That's generally done over how many games they'll play over that 2 year contract, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it might be 20 games over 2 years they have to play to hit a trigger to get a third year.
Yeah, the example this year was Jake Stringer. He signed a three-year deal at Essendon to stay. There is a trigger for a fourth year. Just throwing up a figure, and I don't know the specifics of that contract, but it might be if you play 50 games over your 3 years, you will get a fourth year automatically built in. Jack Loney was another one I mentioned earlier with BJ and Nicky Dell. He was offered a one-year contract this time last year at the Saints for 2021. It had a trigger for a second year if he hit it. Now, I don't know exactly games. He played 11 of the first 12 and then we didn't see him again. So I reckon it would have been around 14 to 16 games or thereabouts for that trigger.
Makes it hard for supporters at home to know exactly who he's contracted for next year. I've had a lot of Blues supporters ask me recently about Jack Nunes as one that's out of contract because he's on a two-year deal at Carlton, but he's hit a trigger up early in the season to trigger a third year. So he actually is contracted for 2022, was taken off the free agency list.
Yeah.
I believe he might have even hit that trigger in his first year at Carlton because he played almost every game in his first season. So he's one that is contracted. But supporters of clubs think to themselves, oh, this guy only signed a two-year deal. He must be out at the end of the season. So it does make it a bit confusing. We'll go to Andrew in Pasco Vale, who has a question about Trent Dumont. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good, thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, just a quick one. So I was wondering what sort of value Trent Dumont would be on the markets. Because I'm hearing that North might be looking to offload him and some maybe Port were interested or something along the lines of that.
Well, he is South Australian, but he's also a free agent. So in terms of what he'd actually get on the market, it's probably more of a compensation pick as opposed to doing a trade for Trent Dumont. It's an interesting situation because he's one of these players that's sort of having to wait on his future at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas 12 months ago, he was a real shot at being the next captain. I mean, he's someone that they value his leadership incredibly highly at North Melbourne, but he's just dealt with a few injury issues this year. It's made it really hard to determine that value.
Yeah, in terms of his interest in South Australia, I don't think he's front of mind for either of the clubs. I think there was he looked around last year, but I think he stayed with the 1 year remaining on his contract for 2021 when he was sold the future under David Noble. Now, this time around, as you say, Ryle's still up in the air as to whether he stays at North Melbourne. I don't think there's any suitors coming hard for him. Now, the Power are looking for a bit of extra midfield depth. Whether Trent Dumont is their guy or not, I think it's a little bit less likely than likely, but his name that we will be talking about over the next fortnight.
I think the Jordan Dawson situation could potentially change the way Port Adelaide looks at him. Obviously, play a similar role. Maybe does that sway their thinking? At the moment, the initial suggestion would be no. But he's certainly one to keep an eye on.
Just on Port, so we'll talk about their inside midfielders and their need for extra coverage in that area. I think Carl Amon's move into the midfield could open up a spot on the wing. So Amon traditionally been a winger with Dersmer on the other. I think if Amon plays more inside, that's where the Dawson move would have fitted in well at Port Adelaide. I know a lot of people were saying, oh, they didn't need Jordan Dawson. But I thought if he comes in and plays wing, that allows guys like Amon to come in. But also Rosie Butters, they can get a bit of a spike in those guys playing through the midfield. That's where their growth can come from. And maybe if it was a Trent Dumont at Alberton, he could play wing and then allow others to play midfield. But I don't think there's any significant interest from the Power just yet.
They've spoken pretty publicly about their desire to get Dersmer, Butters and Rosie more centre bounce time. So whether or not they even see Dersmer as a long-term winger, for example, is another question altogether. They might see him as a centre square player who can deliver a bit of outside run, but mostly from midfield. So
I think Dersmer, in my opinion, again, I don't see him every day like the Power do, but you would just leave him as a lock locked and loaded wingman, wouldn't you? The Isaac Smith model, and just play him there for the next 10 years? That's how I would say it.
Yeah, completely agree. And he's classy. He's got tough as nails. Good footballer. So yep. Be interesting to see. We get to one more question on the open line for Kogan Mobile. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. And we head out to Glenelg, where we're joined by Frankie. G'day, Frankie.
G'day, guys. I was wondering, how does Jordan Clark get to the Dockers? How would a deal like that work?
That's a good question, Frankie. Micho?
Just looking at what Fremantle got right now. So they've got picks 8 and 27. I think 27 is about the right market value for Jordan Clark. The one favour the Cats have got is he's contracted. So they can hold the bargaining on this one, knowing that if the Dockers don't come to the party with a significant offer, he can just walk back through the doors at the Cats. I think we'll see at some point this week him formally request that trade. I think it's too far down the path now that he does return to the Cats, but the Dockers are going to have to come up with something purely because he does have a deal for next year. They might want to start less than 27, but I think 27 is about the right market value for a player who was taken in the first round 3 years ago.
Just one to keep an eye on as well, Frankie. I think maybe whatever the Dockers get in an Adam Chera deal, we spoke before about, and Samo Petrovsky-Seaton might be tied into this, if Carlton can somehow get maybe 35 or even 29 for Petrovsky-Seaton, switch that to Freo in a deal for Chera, and whether or not Freo then moves a maybe even like a 29, which would have started at West Coast, and then can go change hands and end up at Geelong for a Jordan Clark. That's certainly one to watch as well. Plenty more to come on AFL Trade Exchange for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream steady, hot and strong. And for Repco, authorised service for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, when everything counts, counts on Continental. Trade News, AFL Exchange, for Ream. Ask your plumber to install a Ream. Steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised service. For expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. A Trade News update for Mate Internet and Mobile. Mate, award-winning Aussie service. Mobile plans from $20.
This is a news update for Mate Internet and Mobile, Australia's most satisfied NBN customers. Internet from $59. And as Cal Toomey, our great colleague, who will join us a bit later this week.
Is he coming back?
He's coming back on his way home from Western Australia. He reported on AFL.com.au last night that Gold Coast has finally been approved of getting pick 19 at this year's NAB AFL draft as part of the AFL's concession packages that was given to them 3 years ago. Now, Gold Coast wasn't allowed to trade into the future for pick 19 last year because the AFL said they would review their situation at the end of each year. That was a clause as part of this concession package. But 12 months on, they've given them pick 19 and they've said you can use it in any way that you want. You can take it to the draft. You can trade it with another club. You can do whatever you want with it. But Micho, talk us through Gold Coast, because they're an interesting situation because they've got a lot of listed players, as many listed players as they possibly can have. So if they are going to trade for an established player or if they are going to take it to the draft, they're going to need to do some work, aren't they?
Yeah, clubs can have between 36 and 38 on their primary list right now. Gold Coast have got 10 rookies. They were given extra rookie allowances on top. But in 2021, they had 38 senior listed players and also 10 rookies. Now, when you go to the draft, you've got to take a minimum of 3 players at the NAB AFL draft this year, and they join your senior list automatically, your primary list automatically. Gold Coast have 38 players already signed up for next year on their primary list. There is not a player there that is not going to be there right now. So as it sits, plus Marby or Chole, in order to go to the draft and take those 3 picks, they're going to have to delist and re-rookie 4 players. Now you're looking at like a Will Brody, a Jez McLennan. These are the sort of players that will get thrown up. You know, last year, for example, Eddie Betts was the biggest name example like that. He was going to be staying at Carlton, but he's on the senior list. They delisted him and re-rookied him or moved him to the rookie list.
Last year, you didn't have to delist players to move them to the rookie list. It's changed 12 months on.
Yeah, now you've got to actually delist them. They're going to be available for everyone in the delisted free agency window and the rookie draft. So there might be a few clubs just sniffing around what the Gold Coast do with those players. But if I'm them, I'm going to the draft with their first pick, number 3, and also that 19.
Because trying to move up, though, from 3, aren't they?
Yeah. GWS, I don't know whether they'd want to part with pick 2. Yeah. But I'm going to the. I'm using 19 because you can't use it in a trade because you've got so many listed players. So they've got to take three picks in the draft. You may as well take the three best players in the draft you can.
But if they want pick two or perhaps more fancifully pick one,
yeah,
pick 19 is massive for them because they can offer pick 3 and 19 for pick 2. You're only moving back one place if you're GWS, for example, and you're getting another pick in.
So who's the player there that, like, is it a Finn Callan? Like, what's the difference between pick 2 and 3 this year? Is it that significant?
Well, it depends because you'd expect that by the time whoever's got pick 2, by the time they're choosing, you'd expect Darcy and Dacos to be off the board. You'd expect Horne Francis to be off the board at North Melbourne. So the way I see it is probably Finn Callahan's the next best. But there's already been whispers about GWS and who they've liked and whether or not it's a key position player. If Gold Coast has their eye on someone like a Finn Callahan, then yeah, maybe it is worth giving up pick 19. I think for a club like Gold Coast, pick 19 is almost, you almost can just use it as a bonus.
Yeah.
They're not like a club that desperately needs a pick 19, for example.
No, but I look at it and think, well, you've got to take three picks at the draft. I'd rather pay pick 19 than be into the 50s and 60s taking picks. Do you know what I mean?
They've also got 22
yeah,
as well. So that would help them out a lot as well as that. So
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting discussion over the next couple of weeks and months as to what they do with those picks. But pick 19, as Cal Toomey has reported, is going to the Suns. We'll get to some more calls on the open line for Kogan Mobile. Make the call and switch to Kogan Mobile today. And Harry in Camberwell has a question about the salary cap. G'day, Harry.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Not bad, Harry.
Yeah, I just had a question around, I understand that clubs have to use 95% of their salary cap, so, and if it's a bit over 13 million. My first question, I guess. And then secondly, if you hear a bit about like how clubs like Essendon, for example, don't have, or have a lot more room in their cap, whereas Sydney, for example, don't, isn't there really only a small margin there of how much they have to work with? And then secondly, does that not mean that, say, a club like Essendon that has, you know, slightly younger or inexperienced players or more of those, doesn't that mean that 95% of the cap is still being paid to those players? Sorry, just a bit of a technical question, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And it does come into the thinking for list managers a lot at this time of the year, Harry. I'll take you back to Carlton a few years ago. They had a young developing list. They committed to the draft for a few years. They identified in 2020... 21 and 22. We're going to go and get some free agents and use our salary cap. So what the Blues did through 18-19 was they paid 95% of their cap, knowing that you can do that for up to 3 years and you can bank the money. And then for the subsequent years, you can pay 105% of your cap. That's what the Blues are doing right now.
How long's the subsequent years for? Is it 3 years again?
I believe it's 3 years.
So that would be a 6 year period as to whether or not you have to spend a certain amount of money.
Yep. And then, so that's what allowed the Blues to go and get Zach Williams, allowing them to get Adam Chera this year, Adam Saad last year. Now, the other thing, a club like Essendon, North Melbourne are in that situation, I think Hawthorn have got a stack of money too, is they can front-end a lot of these contracts. And that's, you get a little bit nervous front-ending contracts because if players, you know, let's say you front-end a contract and you put 60% of the money in the first 2 years of a five-year deal, The threat is, do they leave at the end of that contract with less money owing on their deal? That's what clubs have to weigh up. But essentially what I'm talking about is...
That was the Dane Beams.
The Dane Beams,
situation.
Perfect example. So yeah. Brisbane had a lot of money to spend at the start of his contract. They put all that money in. When he left, they're like, oh, gee, we've paid so much of the money up front. He's worth more to us, really, as a player because we've paid all that money. That's why they were able to get the two first rounders from Collingwood at the time. In saying that, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, Essendon should be looking to front end a lot of these contracted players for 2022. And give them 4 or 5 year deals and put as much money up front as I can.
Love your work, Mitch. I can see Adam Cooney strolling into the Trade Radio offices now, so stick with us. And thanks for joining us on AFL Trade Exchange. For Ream, ask your plumber to install the Ream Steady Hot and Strong. And for Repco Authorised Service, for car, expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com.